Revelation chapter 4, and today we will begin the reading with verse 1 of Revelation chapter 4. But before we hear God's word, let's join our hearts together once again in prayer. O Lord, our God, we ascribe to you glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and by your will they are and were created. Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in your works of creation and providence, and supremely in your work of redemption in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, we thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is preached in all the earth. Lord, this morning, as we hear your word read and proclaimed, we ask that by your Spirit you would open our hearts to receive this word, to lay it up in our hearts and practice it in our lives to the praise of your glory. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 4 and beginning in verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, there was, as it were, a sea of glass, like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." This is the word of God. Now, the book of Revelation is all about the worship of God. It is the most liturgical book in the New Testament. And worship is clearly the main focus of this particular chapter. In this chapter, John sees a vision of the liturgy of the heavenly temple. The gates of heaven are opened, and the Spirit of God ushers him into the Holy of Holies. And he sees the Lord sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up, surrounded by his heavenly host. And they give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever. John enters into a service of worship in the heavenly temple, and he describes for us the worship of heaven. And the first thing he sees is the throne of God and the Lord sitting upon his throne. And around his throne, he sees a rainbow that has the appearance of an emerald, and flashes of lightning and peals of thunder are issuing from the throne of God, like the lightning and thunder that the Israelites saw when the Lord descended on Mount Sinai. And in front of the throne are seven lampstands burning with fire, which is the sevenfold Spirit of God. That is the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the uncreated light or menorah of the heavenly temple. And in front of the throne is the heavenly sea, so calm and peaceful that it looks like a smooth pavement of glass or crystal. These are the waters that God placed above the firmament at creation, which we read about in Genesis chapter 1. Now, John sees these features of the heavenly temple, and he also sees the heavenly beings worshiping God in the temple. First, he tells us about the 24 elders in verse 4. He says around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. And then he tells us about the four living creatures. In verse 6, he says, and around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second like an ox, the third with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And so we have the 24 elders and the four living creatures. And the activity of these beings, the activity that these beings are engaged in is worship, ceaseless worship. They continually give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever. And so the first thing that we should note about these heavenly beings is that they are worshipers. That is their primary activity, their primary role is to offer a continual sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to God in his heavenly temple. Now, what else can we say about them? Well, let's take a closer look at the 24 elders. The elders we see here are dressed like priests. They are wearing white robes. In the Old Testament, the high priest would wear a white robe whenever they went into the Holy of Holies. And the 24 elders are in the Holy of Holies. They are in the ultimate, the primal, the original Holy of Holies. And they are dressed like high priests in white robes. And in the next chapter, we will see the 24 elders holding bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. That's chapter 5, verse 8. The 24 elders must be priests because only priests could offer incense in the temple of God. So they are dressed like priests. They carry out a priestly service. So the 24 elders are priests. But they are also kings. They are seated on thrones around the throne of God, and they wear crowns on their heads. And so they are rulers. They are kings as well as priests. God has given them authority and power to rule, and they share in the rule of God over the world. They function as rulers in the heavenly court, like the elders of Israel functioned on earth. And notice that they are, in fact, called by the title elder. In Scripture, an elder is a representative and ruler. And so the 24 elders are rulers. They are kings. They're rulers. And they have knowledge of the secret wisdom of God. What we discover later in the book of Revelation is that they give John revelation and interpret the meaning of the visions for him. And so they have knowledge of the mysteries of God. They know the mysteries of God, the secret wisdom of God, and they reveal it to John. The 24 elders are the heavenly council of angels around the throne of God. The Old Testament frequently refers to this heavenly council. Now, one example of that is in the book of Job, chapters 1 and 2, when the sons of God, which in the book of Job refers to the angels, present themselves before the Lord. Another example from the Old Testament that mentions this heavenly council is when the prophet Micaiah said, and this is 1 Kings 22, verse 19, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing beside him on his right hand and on his left. Now, that's the heavenly council. Heaven is God's council chamber where he holds court as the supreme and sovereign ruler over the world. And the 24 elders are attending God in his heavenly court. They are angelic beings, not human beings, but they represent human beings before the throne of God. With golden bowls full of incense, they offer the prayers of all the saints as their heavenly representatives. So they represent the saints. Now, that's why there are 24 of them, 12 to represent the Old Testament saints and 12 to represent the New Testament saints. On earth, as you know, the Old Testament saints were represented by the 12 sons of Israel, and the New Testament saints were represented by the 12 apostles. But in heaven, the whole church, the one family of God in Old and New Testaments, is represented by these 24 elders. Now, to be clear, the 24 elders are not the 12 patriarchs and the 12 apostles. They are angels. They're angels, not humans. But they correspond to the 12 patriarchs and the 12 apostles as their heavenly counterparts. But they also correspond to the 24 classes of priests who took turns serving the Temple of Solomon. In 2 Chronicles chapter 24, King David divided the sons of Aaron into 24 different groups, and each group was headed by a chief priest. And the 24 priestly heads were called the elders of the priesthood. Now, that explains the use of the word elders here for the 24 elders. They are the elders of the priesthood, the elders of the heavenly priesthood. The 24 priests in Solomon's temple were the earthly counterparts of these 24 heavenly elders. Now, what we are going to see in the book of Revelation is that the 24 elders connect the earthly liturgy to the heavenly liturgy. In other words, they connect the worship on earth with the worship in heaven. Whenever we pray, to put it very concretely, whenever we pray, whenever we offer our prayers to God, it is the 24 elders who carry our prayers in golden bowls full of incense before the throne of God. And so these 24 elders serve as a link between heaven and earth, a link between earthly worship and heavenly worship. Now, that's what I want us to point. I want to point out here about the 24 elders. Let's look at the other group of worshipers around God's throne. And this is the more mysterious group, if that one were not mysterious enough, the more mysterious group, which is the four living creatures. Now, again, verse 6 says, around the throne and on each side of the throne are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second like an ox, the third with the face of a man, the fourth like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. Now, these are obviously not earthly creatures, but heavenly creatures. But they do bear some resemblance to earthly creatures, to four earthly creatures in particular, a lion, an ox, a human, and an eagle. Now, those four earthly creatures exercise dominion over certain realms. The lion, as one writer put it, is the greatest and fiercest of all the wild animals. The ox is the strongest of domesticated animals. The eagle is the most majestic of birds, and man is the ruler over all animals. So the four living creatures by God's throne image something of the glory of God as that glory has been revealed in God's creatures and his work of creation. They represent all created reality. They symbolize the noblest, the strongest, the wisest, and the swiftest in creation. They recapitulate or recap the whole of creation. Now, that's why there are four of them. They correspond to the whole earth, the four corners of the earth, the four winds that are mentioned later in the book of Revelation, as we are going to see. The four living creatures are also covered with eyes all over. And their eyes symbolize the omniscience of God. God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He is all-seeing. And his ceaseless watchfulness over all his creation is symbolized in the eyes on these creatures. God perceives everything in every direction. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, Scripture says, keeping watch over the wicked and the good. Now, the main activity of these four living creatures is worship. But they also carry out the judgments ordered by God against humanity, also recorded in the book of Revelation. For example, when the first four of the seven seals are broken in Revelation chapter 6, it is the four living creatures who summon the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And later in the apocalypse, one of the four living creatures gives the seven bowls of God's wrath to the seven angels for them to pour out on the earth. That's Revelation 15, verse 7. And so the four living creatures execute the judgments of God. They carry out, they execute his judgments against humanity. Now, these same four living creatures also appear in the book of Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 1 and 10 in particular, where we are told by the prophet Ezekiel that they are cherubim. That's Ezekiel 10, verse 20. The four living creatures are cherubim. And so this is what cherubim look like. This is what a cherub looks like. A cherub is not a chubby little baby with wings and dimples advertising baby soap. Cherubim are fearsome, awesome, terrifying creatures. And the ancient world knew more about the cherubim than we do. The ancient world had a better understanding of what cherubim looked like than we do. If you have ever seen those ancient statues of winged lions or winged bulls standing guard outside of a king's palace, then you have seen cherubim. You have seen a cherub. That's what a cherub is. They are cherubim. They look like a griffin. Now, there are many examples of winged creatures around king's thrones in the ancient world. And in Revelation chapter 4, the cherubim are around the throne of God. They are in the middle of and on each side of the throne of God. They are guardians of God's throne. They are guardians of the holy realm. And they will not allow anything unclean to draw near to the throne of God. The very first place in Scripture where the cherubim appear is in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 24. And that's what they are doing. They are standing guard at the entrance of the Garden of Eden, keeping out anything that is unclean from entering into that holy realm. And so the cherubim are guardians, guardians of the holy realm. They will not allow anything that is unclean to draw near God's throne. And that's what we see the cherubim doing, for example, in Solomon's temple. You may recall that on the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, which was in the Holy of Holies in the Temple of Solomon, there were two golden cherubim on top of that lid. And there were also, in addition to those two, there were also two self-standing cherubim carved out of olive wood and overlaid with gold beside the ark. And these self-standing cherubim were huge. They were 10 cubits tall and each with a wingspan of 10 cubits. And their wings were stretched out from wall to wall in the Holy of Holies. The cherubim in the Holy of Holies in Solomon's temple were like sentinels guarding the holy realm, preventing anything unclean from coming near to the throne of God. And in the Holy of Holies of Solomon's temple, there were four cherubim. These, of course, are the earthly counterparts, the earthly copies, the earthly shadows, the earthly replicas of the four living creatures around God's heavenly throne. And God was, as the Bible says frequently, enthroned above the cherubim. The cherubim actually formed his throne in Solomon's temple. He was enthroned above the cherubim. And so it is in his heavenly temple. Now, John says, to translate it literally, verse 6, in the middle of the throne and on each side of the throne are four living creatures. So the living creatures themselves, these four cherubim, actually form the throne of God. They are the throne of God. They constitute the mercy seat on which God is enthroned in the primal and ultimate Holy of Holies in heaven. They are God's throne and his chariot. Now, this will explain some verses in the Bible, such as the verse from Psalm 18 that says this, God, quote, rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. God rides on the cherubim because the cherubim are his throne chariot. And Ezekiel tells us very clearly that this chariot, this throne of God, is mobile. It is his chariot. So that's what the four living creatures are. Now, what do the four living creatures do? Well, in Revelation chapter 4, they praise God. They worship God continually. Verse 9, they give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever. And John tells us also in verse 8, that day and night they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Not simply is to be, but is to come. because in the book of Revelation, God is coming. He is the coming one. Now, this song of the cherubim recorded here in Revelation 4 is the primary song of the Holy of Holies. It's the chief song of the heavenly temple. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. This is the same song that the prophet Isaiah heard whenever he saw a vision of the heavenly temple and the seraphim singing this song in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Now, the prophet Isaiah was writing about 800 years before John wrote the book of Revelation. And Isaiah says in chapter 6, verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne." This, of course, is the same throne that John saw, "high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple." Notice that God is enthroned in his temple. Heaven is his temple. Heaven is his throne room. It is also his temple. Verse 2, Isaiah 6, "Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts,'" or the Lord God Almighty, Pantocrator, the Lord of hosts. "The whole earth is full of his glory." Now, that's the same song in Revelation 4, verse 8. In Latin, as you may know, this song is referred to as the Sanctus, the holy. In Greek, it is referred to as the Trisagion, which means thrice holy, Trisagion, thrice holy. In Hebrew, it is called the Kedushah. It was used in the worship of the synagogue and the worship of the temple from ancient times and used in the worship of the early Christian church, as we see here, for example, in Revelation chapter 4. Worship on earth mimics worship in heaven. It is, in fact, a participation in the worship of heaven. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 4, Isaiah goes on to say, "And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house," that is the house of God, the temple of God, "was filled with smoke." The smoke, of course, is the glory cloud, the cloud of glory. Now, this is the first hymn that John hears, and it is the chief hymn of the heavenly temple. He will hear no less than five hymns in chapters 4 and 5 of Revelation, as we are going to see. "The Lord our God, whom we worship, is holy. He is holy, holy, holy." And that threefold repetition of holy no doubt corresponds to the tri-personality of God. God is one, undivided, triune God. One undivided, tri-personal God. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The angels in heaven ceaselessly praise and glorify the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the cherubim around God's throne act like choir masters, leading the service of worship in the heavenly temple. We are seeing the liturgy of the heavenly temple, and these cherubim are the choir masters leading the service. Verse 9 again, "Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders," again, the 24 elders, which are priests, kings, angels, not human beings, yet representative of human beings, particularly they represent the people of God in Old and New Testaments, corresponding to the 12 patriarchs, the 12 apostles. So they represent the sum total of the church of God. The 24 elders, verse 10, "fall down before God." They fall on their faces in full prostration before God, showing their submission to him, showing that they adore him, showing their humility. They fall on their faces before God, who is seated on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, showing that their honor and their glory, their authority, their power, symbolized in their crowns, come from God and belong to him. They give back to him what he gave to them. Their action of casting their crowns before the throne expresses visually what they say in verse 11, namely that God is worthy to possess what their crowns signify. Verse 11, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." All things were created by the will of God. He said, let there be, and there was. By His will, all things were created and came to exist, came to be. So they praise God, and they praise Him here in particular as the creator of all things. For You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created. All creatures owe God this worship. They owe Him this praise. They owe Him this service precisely because they are His creatures. He made them. He created them. He created us and all things. And therefore, we owe Him this worship. God is the creator. He is the sovereign ruler over all the universe. And everything that has breath, therefore, must praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for revealing to us this worship that occurs without ceasing in the heavenly.